is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman in studio. We've got a special guest as well. We'll hear from Dan Glessing from Minnesota Farm Bureau in just a bit. First of all, today's going to be seasonably cold, highs in the teens. We have a weak clipper that'll bring two different rounds of snow showers, the highest accumulations in the region of 1 to 2 inches, that expected in the Red River Valley. Additional light snow possible this afternoon. Tomorrow, it'll be the winds that'll be the story. Over 30 miles an hour, bringing dangerously cold wind chills and blowing snow, causing some potential travel issues.
American Soybean Association President Caleb Ragland is thankful for the president's new Farmer Bridge Assistance Program, but said it doesn't go far enough. In an appearance on CNN, Ragland calling the program a Band-Aid on an open wound. The soybean leader said farmers really need market-based solutions.
The farm financial situation is so severe, National Association of Wheat Growers Treasurer Nathan Kane believes there will be an attempt to secure more relief for farmers when Congress returns in January.
We're in a tough situation right now. I mean, farming across the whole country. And it is going to be helpful to have this $12 billion bridge payment coming. We do know that $11 billion will go towards row crops and $1 billion will go towards specialty crops. Now, the hurt that we're facing right now is a larger impact than that amount. And so there's a possibility of, going back and another ask.
Rather than ad hoc assistance, Kane wants more opportunities in the marketplace.
We don't want to rely on the government to keep us in business. I mean, really what we're looking for is we're looking for some fair trade, be able to sell our commodities at a decent price, and be able to grow our commodities with the inputs not being skyrocketed, right? So be able to grow our commodities and have a decent margin to be able to farm.
Kane spent the early part of this week at a strategic planning session with other wheat leaders in Minneapolis. He's now in Grand Forks for the Prairie Grains Conference.
Well, it's become a Prairie Grains Conference tradition for Minnesota Farm Bureau President Dan Glessing to join us in the studio. Thanks for being here, Dan.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Well, big news this week, of course, is the big announcement of the Farmer Bridge Payment Program. So what impact can this have on farm country?
Well, as we come into the end of the year, obviously there's a lot of bills that are due, a lot of conversations with those lenders. And so the announcement of it is a Band-Aid. We would sure like to see better market prices and trade and domestic uses, and our input prices are certainly affecting that bottom line. But at the end of the day, they announced it when they announced it so that you can have some kind of plan for the banker or the lender. As you go in, you can slide that sheet over and say, we're going to be getting this here in February. Maybe it'll help prolong until we get to a better market price that we can sell into.
You're going to be in D.C. next week, the American Farm Bureau Federation, state presidents all gathering for the resolution process ahead of the American Farm Bureau Convention next month in California. As you go into this, is there like a common theme? Are you seeing some different things going through these policy talks?
We haven't really seen overarching themes. I think the economics of agriculture where we're at right now is kind of the overarching theme, and in anything that you can do, whether it's tax wise or solutions on the input side, man, those inputs are starting to be a big number, and how do we assess that or address that? And so I haven't seen the resolutions report yet, so I don't know the overarching themes, but just from conversations with other presidents.
And in addition to that, you're a dairy farmer, and we're looking at $15, $16 milk prices. I know that's dairy beef phenomenon has helped a bit. How are dairy farmers weathering that milk check?
Well, I'll say without the culls and the calves, it's a tough market to sell into when you're talking $15, $16 milk. Typically, your break even on milk, and this is from farm business management instructors that I talk to, is in that 20 to 21 range. And so that's a wide spread. But to your point, the culls that that beef price that we're enjoying, as well as selling those calves, is really kind of helping, basically keeping those dairies moving.
Well, Dan, again, we always appreciate you coming by. We'll join you, have you stick around and visit with you more as the morning progresses. But thanks again for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Dan Glessing, president of the Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation, all in conjunction with the Prairie Grains Conference. It's underway in Grand Forks, actually getting started at the top of the hour with their first research sessions. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Bismarck, North Dakota will host the first national listening session about the updated definition of waters of the United States. North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer is hosting representatives of the EPA and Army Corps of Engineers Friday morning. The new WOTUS rule is in the midst of a public comment period, which closes January 5th.
The Federal Reserve cut interest rates for the third straight meeting, lowering the benchmark federal funds rate by a quarter point to that range of 3.5% to 3.75%, the lowest in 3 years. The move aims to guard against a sharper slowdown in hiring, though officials signaled they may pause further cuts as divisions inside the committee grow. The Fed voted 9-3. That's its largest split in 6 years. Financial markets rallied on the announcement, viewing the move as a sign the Fed may still be open to further action if the labor market weakens. However, most of the Fed officials expect no more than one rate cut next year.
Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Executive Director Harrison Weber is in Washington this week, meeting with lawmakers and administration officials as the sugar industry faces declining prices and rising foreign competition.
With growers across the country making about over 100 visits here with members of the Congress as well as the administration and various agencies, you know, really our message is just trying to been expressed and let everybody know. Really the state our industry is in right now. We've seen a decrease in demand and increase in supply from foreign actors like Brazil dumping sugar on our market. We're making sure they're all aware of it. You name it, we're trying to make friends, and it doesn't matter if it's rural, urban, it doesn't matter where they're at, Republican, Democrat, we're making sure everybody's aware. Certainly have met with our friends in Minnesota, North Dakota, both the full delegations.
Weber says the recent decline in sugar prices and rising production costs have pushed the industry into unfamiliar territory, prompting growers to advocate for support within the administration's new $1 billion specialty crop reserve within that Farmer Bridge assistance.
You know, we're trying to have conversations to see if we can fit into that box. Certainly, you know, a real dire situation going on in the sugar industry. We've seen a price decline of 42% over the last 12 months or so. And so, you know, with our increased on-farm costs and decrease in income, revenue side, the math ain't mathing. And so we got to figure out something here to keep our guys going. And otherwise, if we don't, then the answer is we're going to start being more reliant on foreign countries to provide that sugar. And I, for one, don't want to see that. I want to continue to provide a domestic product that's grown right here in North Dakota, Minnesota.
Weber and growers from across the country wrapping up their Washington visits today.
The winter weather's certainly here. Snow, freezing rain, wind, we've all seen it. Streeter, North Dakota rancher Tim Erberle says they didn't get any of the snow from the large snow system, but they did get freezing rain, which came with its own issues.
The cattle we have up here in the north are pretty suited to a harsh climate and harsh environment. So for the most part, everything took it pretty well. Not too exciting trying to get around in the morning when you're doing chores. We had actually chained up a front wheel assist tractor that we've got on the feed wagon, but we put chains on as well just to help bite into the ice a little bit. We're kind of hanging on a side hill, and it gets pretty sketchy if you're sliding around on ice. So we were glad we did that, but by early afternoon or right around noon, it had kind of thawed and was better. But when we were doing chores, yeah, you needed ice skates to get across the yard. You scooted your feet and kind of shuffled wherever you went.
The cattle, though, took the weather in stride.
The cattle seemed to handle it okay. Not just real cold when that was coming, obviously, but we kind of like cold and dry better than warm and wet. But the cattle seemed to get through it okay. We have a little custom backgrounding feed yard here and got about 1,000 newly weaned calves around, and they seem to do all right. They looked a little cold for a while yesterday morning till they got their coats dried off and stuff. But for the most part, it was pretty good.
Trump administration rolling out a new $700 million regenerative agriculture pilot program aimed at helping American farmers improve soil health, water quality, and long-term productivity. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins and Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. detailing how the initiative will support farmers in transitioning to regenerative practices.
We will deliver this support through existing programs our farmers already know and already trust. Protecting and improving the health of our soil is critical, not only for the future viability of farmland, but to the future success of American farmers. In order to continue to be the most productive and most efficient growers in the world, we must protect our topsoil from unnecessary erosion and boost the microbiome of the soil. Today's announcement encourages these priorities while supporting farmers to transition to regenerative agriculture if they so choose.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. As mentioned, it's become a Prairie Grains tradition. Minnesota Farm Bureau President Dan Glessing with us in studio this morning. We appreciate you joining us. Obviously, Dan, this farm economy has been a challenge and not where we'd like to see it in most areas. I know Minnesota Farm Bureau, your foundation, have both been very active in the arena of mental health. That takes on more importance, particularly at this time of year when we're renegotiating rents, we're talking to our banker, going into holidays, the whole kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you come out of the harvest, you know, you think of it's time to wind down and you kind of reflect, and then that's kind of when that sets in. And it's okay not to be okay, but make sure you say something. It's not okay not to say something about it. And so whether that's talking to a friend, a neighbor, a professional, get that. It's easier to get it out in the open and you know, before it's too late. So that mental health thing has been a priority not only for Minnesota Farm Bureau but as well as AFBF. So just trying to make sure we keep the farmers farming.
You know, we look at this this bridge payment that's coming. We talked a little bit about that before, but I mean, it is you know, $12 billion is a big number. But when you really look at it and you look at the costs and everything that we're facing in the ag community, it's going to be a drop in the book.
Correct, yeah. But, I mean, the goal is to get you to next year where we hopefully will see more trade deals. Obviously, we've seen a lot of trade announcements. We need pen to paper. We need those crops moving, the products moving. That should help on that end of it. Domestic use, we look at that year-round E15, for instance. That would be a nice use of corn here. Sustainable aviation fuel, now we're a few years out from that, but that would be a great draw if we can get that plant up in this area and help that basis shrink that. Trade is one aspect of it. Input prices is another. Domestic use is the other one, because that's just all crushing on that margin, that profit margin for farmers. So anything we can do to try and get that, use that bridge payment to get to those you know, brighter times, if you will.
Well, again, Dan, we really appreciate you making the stop over this morning and grab a cup of coffee and sit behind the mic. We appreciate it.
It's always a good time. Appreciate it.
Dan Glessing with us, Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation President. Let's check out those markets. We have Minneapolis wheat, March right now, trading 3 cents higher at 578 and a quarter. Chicago, even money, and the KC wheat, 5.5 higher. The corn market, March, 2.75 higher, 447. January soybeans, 1093 and three quarters. It's a gain of 2.5 cents right now. Prairie Grains Conference is going on. The door is opening right away here at the top of the hour. The schedule today, they've got a number of speakers, including Mike Spear, the new president of U.S. Wheat Associates, talking about that whole situation of global demand. That's a 9:10 start this morning. Al Kleiss from Kleiss Commodity Advisors on tap later this morning. And Darrell Richardson from Endon up at 1:30. Have a great day. We'll see you at the show. This is the Red River Farm Network.